So, let's pray before we start. Lord God, thank you for Scripture and thank you for your Spirit. And we pray that once again your Spirit would make these words from the Bible come alive to us. Please speak to us now and help us to learn how to pray. Because we ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. So today, as you've already heard, we're on the fourth session of the fifth session of the Alpha 24/7 prayer course. And we've done, first one is adoration, which is coming to God in adoration at the start of our prayers. We've looked at petition, which is essentially praying for ourselves. We've looked at intercession, which is praying for other people. Last week we looked at perseverance and what happens when it seems like prayers are not being answered. And this week we are looking at listening to God in prayer. Those who were there on Wednesday to see the video and stuff will have heard Pete Gregg talking about this idea of listening and linking it up to recognising people's voices, and particularly thinking of telephones. And I was reminded, I don't know how many people watch Cold Feet, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because nobody puts their hands up, I'll be discouraged. Cold Feet this last week, remember Adam? Thank you. I see those hands. Do you remember the bit where this last week where Adam rang Karen and it was Karen's daughter who answered the phone? And yes, it was embarrassing because Adam hadn't actually realised that he was speaking to the daughter rather than the mother. Had a conversation with the daughter that she probably didn't really want to hear. Recognising voices when you make a phone call, it's easier these days with mobile phones and the caller ID stuff. I remember when Catherine was at home, and Janet and Catherine on the phone actually have quite similar sounding voices, and people used to get a bit confused as to whether they were talking to Janet or to Catherine. It's easy to do until you really get to know someone well and recognise the voice. And the point that Pete was making in the talk was that as you get to know someone better and better, you do recognise the voice. You don't have to be introduced to them when they answer the phone. And if they pick up somebody else's phone and you think you've rung someone and somebody else answers it, you don't get conned by talking to the daughter rather than the mother. You recognise the voice as you get to know people well. And that's his point about Jesus from our reading in John chapter 10, which is what we're going to focus on, page 1076. The key verse there is John 10, verse 4, where John writes that his sheep follow him because they know his voice. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. There's the idea of recognising Jesus' voice and therefore knowing, listening, hearing and obeying what he says. The background to this, as I guess you've probably heard a few times if you heard sermons on this before, is that in the Middle East, shepherds work a bit differently from the shepherds you'll find up in the Lake District. Here we love our collie dogs. We love the fact they run around behind the sheep and chase them along, and they run here, they run there, they bark at them and force the sheep from behind to go where they're supposed to go. And you hear the shepherd shouting, "Come by," or whatever the other direction is, I can't remember which. And these special directions, move the sheep, dogs, move the sheep. In the Middle East, it works slightly differently. And essentially, the shepherd walked in front, and he called, and the sheep followed. So it wasn't a question of driving them, it was a question of the sheep recognising the shepherd's voice. And apparently, they could even, specific sheep could be picked out that way by the expert shepherds. And that's what's behind this passage in John chapter 10. Jesus is using that imagery of the sheep being, essentially being called by the shepherd and following him. And the idea is that as Jesus' followers, we learn to recognise Jesus' voice as the sheep did. So that's the introductory bit. There are many ways that God speaks to us. How do we hear God speak? And the Alpha material gives a whole list of possible things. I'm going to go through some of them. If you're there on Wednesday, you might have seen a sheet of Bible references. Well, I've started with that and modified a few and thrown a few out because I didn't quite follow what they were trying to say. And I've come up with 13 different ways that God speaks to us. Number one, he speaks through creation. Psalm 19, verse 1, tells us that creation tells us about the glory of God. And then, I think it was Elijah, he was hiding in a cave, and various things went past. There was an earthquake, there was a strong wind, and there was a fire, and he was listening for God's voice and all of that, and it wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in the wind, it wasn't in the fire. But after the fire, there was a gentle whisper. And that gentle whisper was the voice of God. So God's voice doesn't have to be loud and dramatic. It could be just a gentle whisper. On Wednesday, we thought about the calling of Samuel and the audible voice that he heard. Then at Christmas story, we come across the angels. And people heard about what God was communicating through the angels. There was Mary being told that Jesus was going to be born. There were the shepherds in the fields told to go to Bethlehem. Angels were communicating. People were listening to God through angels. In Romans chapter 2, then we hear that even people who don't know about God consciously still hear from God in their conscience. Their conscience pricks them to go in a certain direction, and that is from God. So we can listen to God through conscience. Psalm 119, the whole thing is to do with how God speaks through his word, through scripture. And then think back to Joseph in the Old Testament. How did God speak to Joseph? Joseph heard through dreams, didn't he? Yeah, exactly. The dreams that first of all made him so unpopular, his brothers kicked him off out to Egypt. When he was in Egypt, it was the dreams that he was able to interpret that were God speaking in various ways. Visions in the book of Acts. There's a couple of instances. Remember Peter on the roof saying all these non-Jewish people, these Gentiles, they're unclean, I wouldn't go to them. And then God gave him a vision of food that he thought was unclean and said, no, it's not unclean, I'm changing the rules here. It's a change of gear. We're all one now in this new family of God, and there isn't a separation between Jews and non-Jews. All the stuff about ritual cleanness and uncleanness and stuff, forget about that. We're all one in my new church. You go. And that's the vision that he had in Acts chapter 10. Paul had a vision in Acts chapter 16 of people in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. God spoke to them through visions of things happening. Later on in Acts, there's a prophet called Agabus who came to Paul, and actually God used him to speak about what was going to happen to Paul when he got to Jerusalem, warning him that things weren't going to be good. There's another way that God speaks is through what this list calls godly counsel, basically wise Christians giving advice, or the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Holy Spirit sort of confirming in us that what we're hearing is something from God. Circumstances and timing are quite often things that God can use to put us in particular places, and we need to look at those and listen to whether God's using those. I'll talk a bit later on about what happened when Paul arrived in Corinth and stuff that happened there, apparently by coincidence, but actually by God putting the circumstances together. And lastly, there's, of course, the famous from the Old Testament, the talking donkey. Now, just to prove that God can speak through just about anything, in Numbers 22, there's a story which Peter reminds us of in his letter, that when the particular person was going in a particular direction that God didn't want, he ended up having to speak to him through his donkey. Or someone else's donkey, I can't remember whose donkey it was, but the point was the donkey actually spoke. The point of this list is there are many, many ways that God speaks, through creation, through scripture, through other people, through some unusual things like angels, through visions, dreams, prophecy, maybe not through donkeys that much. Why does God communicate in so many different ways? Well, partly because we're all different. We all like to hear and respond better in different ways. And partly, too, he wants us to teach us to see and hear him everywhere, not just in one particular way. And, of course, that raises a question. Is it God really speaking to me, or is this just my own ideas? How do I know if it's God speaking? And the normal way of doing this is sort of summed up in the ABC advice that we got from Pete Gregg's video on Wednesday night. Advice from people that we trust, who are Christians. Bible, what does the Bible say? Is this in line with Scripture? and conscience, does this feel right to me based on what I've heard from other people and what the Bible has said? Does my conscience say that this is also something that's right? So yeah, we can hear God speaking in all these different ways, but how do we know it's really God? We test it. God's never going to say something that's against what's revealed in Scripture. So now on to this idea of shepherds and listening to the shepherd as we started. Our Old Testament reading, I'm not going to go through it, but it reminded us of God as shepherd, God's shepherd-like care for us, how he provides for our needs, he guides us, he protects us, and finishes up talking about us living in his presence forever. It sets the scene very well for what the care that a shepherd has for us and how God, like a shepherd, cares for us. But Jesus takes up that imagery in John chapter 10, in the words that are recorded there. And that chapter sort of expands a bit on the implications of Jesus as a shepherd who we hear and follow. So that's where we're going to have a look at now, page 1076. In verse 3, we read that, verse 2, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So they were in a sheep pen overnight, they've been looked after, and the shepherd called his sheep out of that sheep pen and they followed him. That's how it worked. That was the following the shepherd type of thing. When he brought them out, all his own sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I think the point from that is there's two points. One is the idea of listening and recognizing the voice of Jesus, but the other is what happens when they hear it. Sheep don't say, oh yes, that's my shepherd, that's nice. They actually get up and go. And when we listen to God, it's not just that's nice. We listen to God because when God speaks, it's for our encouragement, it's for our direction, it's for various reasons, usually mainly those. It's not just something to say, that's nice, what next? It's there, like the sheep got up and went. It'll lead us into something. There are many voices that we hear on the TV, on the radio, in social media, from our friends, from our work. And some of those will have elements of God speaking. They may be things on TV that remind us of situations around the world that God cares about. Remember what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, the idea, break my heart with what breaks yours? Looking at the news and it with God's eyes, and how do we know what to pray for? Pray for the things that touch us from what we see around us. God speaking to us, reminding us of what to pray for. All these things, I'm not saying that all these other voices are necessarily good or bad. They're neutral. They can be used in different ways. But we need to discern from them what God's saying to us. We need to learn to hear the voice of Jesus and to follow. Why is that? Why is it important to hear the voice of Jesus? Well, the ultimate reason is that Jesus, verses 7 to 9, he is the gate for the sheep. In other words, the only way in and out of the kingdom of God, the only way for the sheep to come into God's presence is through Jesus. I am the gate. I am the only way into God's flock. So that's ultimately why we need to listen to him, because there isn't anyone else ultimately we have to listen to. And if we do listen, then verse 10 tells us that he's come so that we can have life and have it to the full. The old versions say life in abundance. A full life in fellowship with God and with his people. That's what Jesus is trying to call his sheep into. And as we've been reminded already before, earlier on in the service, that in verse 11, Jesus talks about the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The reason we can come into God's flock of sheep, using the picture we're looking at this morning, the reason we can come into the church is because Jesus laid down his life for us so that we can be forgiven for the stuff that we've done wrong and come into God's family. And then we can be in the position of his sheep, following him and listening to his voice. But the fact that he was the good shepherd and prepared to lay down his life for his sheep is something we'll remember later on today in our communion service. This absolute commitment from Jesus to us, to the point of giving, of laying down his life, is what makes Jesus absolutely trustworthy too. So that when we hear his voice and listen to his voice, we know the length to which he was prepared to go for us, and we know that we can trust what we hear from him. Verse 14, it's not just about knowing his voice. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They don't just know his voice, they actually know the person who's calling them, and he knows the sheep. There's a relationship behind this. It's not just a question of listening to a voice and going off and doing what we're told. There's a relationship of trust there. The sheep trusted the shepherd because they knew that he did the stuff that Psalm 23 says, took them to places to eat, took them to places to drink, protected them from stuff from the wolves or whatever else that was coming with his big stick. There's a relationship in both ways. The shepherd prepared to lay down his life for the sheep because he loves them, the sheep knowing that they're cared for. That's our relationship with Jesus, ultimately. We can make it complicated, but simply it's that we know Jesus loves us because he died and gave his life for us, and therefore we can trust him and he will look after us, will provide for us and give us what we need. Verse 16 goes on to say that there are other sheep not of this pen. Well, Jesus was talking to people from Israel at that time, and that's just saying that this is going to be broadened out to the whole world. It's not just for you, it's for everyone. And that they too will listen to my voice. They too is us. We can listen to Jesus' voice. One flock, one shepherd. So what do we do with all this? In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, we read about God walking and talking with Adam and Eve. We were created as human beings to communicate with God. John makes it clear that Jesus expects us to hear his voice and to follow like sheep do. So then there's the question of how do we listen to God? How do we hear his voice? Well, we need to spend time and deepen our relationship with him, knowing Jesus as well as knowing his voice, as verse 14 of John says. There's a relationship there. It's about prayer being listening as well as talking. We're very good at talking in prayer, and the first sessions have gone through all sorts of stuff about talking to God, saying how great God is, what we need God to do for us, what we want God to do for other people. Sometimes we need to sit and listen. Slow down. Be comfortable with silence. Early on in a relationship with a human being, quite often we're uncomfortable with silence. And as we get to know people better, we can become comfortable in silence. And I think it's the same with God. Sometimes we need to learn to be comfortable in silence with God. Reflect on Scripture, meditate on it, chew it over is a phrase I've heard used. Take one of these things, take one of the Psalms we've been looking at this morning maybe. Just think it through slowly, verse by verse. Meditate on it. What's God saying to me through this? What's God reminding me of? Look for God at work in circumstances. I said I'd come back to Paul in Corinth. I'll do it very briefly. Beginning of Acts chapter 18, Paul had arrived in Corinth and was trying to set up his work in Corinth. And just at the same time, Priscilla and Aquila, who were Jews from Italy, I think they were in Rome. The Emperor Claudius had kicked the Jews out of Rome, so they had to move out of Rome. They'd ended up in Italy. Sorry, out of Italy. They ended up in Greece, in Corinth. Because the Roman emperor had made this decree. They ended up there at the same time as Paul. They had the same trade of tent makers. So all these circumstances came together, and these people ended up being the people that Paul worked with to set the church up in Corinth. So God established the church leadership team through circumstance, but Paul recognized it, they recognized it, they got together, they formed the team, the church was formed, the church was built. So the circumstances there were God at work. They listened to God in the circumstances, and it, you know, that church was formed. We need to ask God to speak and then just look for the answers. Maybe let him work away in the background, bringing it to the front of our consciousness. And then, as I mentioned before, to test it. This ABC stuff, advice from others, what does the Bible say, and what does our conscience say? And I'd like to add a D to the ABC that the Alpha Course talks about. ABCD, the D is do it. Because as I said at the beginning, it's all very well to listen, but we need to do something with it. And I was trying to think of an example when I'd heard God say something reasonably recently. And I guess it was back before Christmas when we were thinking through stuff to do with what the end of the current phase of working with Transform looks like and where how do we move on. And there was a bit of there were some hard things to think through there. And the verse that kept coming back to me as I thought about it was from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and rise up on wings like eagles and run and not go weary and all that sort of stuff. But basically the idea was that waiting on the Lord, he will renew, he will give strength, he will start you off again when you're feeling that you can't go on. And you have a choice with that verse, that's Isaiah 40, 31, and say, yeah, that's nice. Or we can do what it says, wait on the Lord, spend time with him and receive strength from him. And it's again this question of when we listen to God, what do we do with it? And that's the question I'd leave with us at the end of this sermon. John 10:4 says, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And that's the challenge to us. Are we going to follow him when we recognize his voice? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are alive and living and you speak to us. Please help us to be better at listening to you and recognizing your voice. Please help us to be able to not just listen, but to follow. Lord, we need you to help us to pray, whether that's us speaking or us listening. We pray that you would teach us to pray better, more like you want us to communicate with you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.